Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Good morning, brothers and sisters, on this 27th Sunday after Pentecost. And today's gospel about Christ healing this bent woman in the synagogue on the Sabbath opens a wealth of spiritual lessons for us. According to St. Ambrose of Milan, the infirm woman prefigures the church, which, when it has fulfilled the measure of the law and of the resurrection, straightened to an uplifted dignity in that eternal rest. Nor could this woman be healed in any other way than by fulfilling the law and grace, the law in precepts and the grace in baptism, whereby we die to the world and rise again in Christ. For perfection is in the 10 commandments of the law, but the fullness of the resurrection is in the number 8. So the Holy Fathers have seen, often this is the case, the numbers are significant. And so the number 18, the Holy Fathers say, well, it's the number 10 and the number 8 together. And so the number 10, of course, in this case refers to the 10 commandments. But the number 8 always refers, in patristic viewpoint, to the future age when Christ will come in his second coming. Because obviously God created the world in 6 days, he rested on the seventh day, so the eighth day is the next chapter. You know, it's the next world to come. And it also refers to the new law of grace that has received at our baptism. But this gospel also reveals how Satan works against mankind. And I'm sure we all remember the story of Job and when God permitted Satan to tempt him by sending infirmities and tribulations. And so too, Satan bound this woman with this infirmity for 18 years. And yet Christ reveals his love for mankind when he called this woman to himself, laid his hands upon her and loosed her from her infirmity. And it's notable that she, unlike some of the other people that were healed, none of her friends came and asked Christ. She herself didn't ask. You know, she probably just had accepted that she had this situation, and also she was bent over, so she really couldn't see around her what was going on too much. So, but Christ had mercy upon her and just called her and said, "Come over here," and he just laid his hands on her and healed her. Then the ruler of the synagogue became indignant and spoke against this miraculous healing on the pretext of violating the commandment to do no work on the Sabbath. As St. Theophylact points out, but Satan, who had bound the woman in the first place, was vexed at her deliverance because he desired her continued affliction. And so he bound the ruler of the synagogue with spite, and through the mouth of this man, Satan reviled the miracle. This is how he always attacks the good. So here we get a little glimpse of how the evil one is sneaky and how he tries to influence and tempt people and work through them if he can. Well, in today's epistle to the Ephesians from chapter 6, St. Paul describes the struggle that we Christians have with Satan's evil schemes and snares and temptations. He says, "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the world rulers of the darkness of this age, against the spirits of wickedness in high places." And as St. Theophylact says, the Apostle Paul makes this statement not to frighten Christians, but to make them more attentive. A general who explains to his own men the strength and position of the opposing enemy makes them safer and braver. In the book, The Struggle for Virtue, Archbishop Averke points out that many Christians today try to fight evil on the wrong battlefront, as it were. Instead of struggling against the evil passions in their own souls, they seek out faults in others and attack them. However, as St. Paul says in Galatians 5:15, if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. So we see a lot of this today in the world where, people take one particular political view or another one, and anybody that doesn't agree with them is evil somehow, and then they're going to attack and fight and all this. And it's just a big waste of time, because even if they could succeed in having the world the way they think it should be, there would be something else, no doubt, because we live in a fallen world, and God permits Satan to tempt us until the Lord will finally come in his second coming. But one of the most interesting points and important points that Archbishop Averke makes is that in order to be successful in overcoming evil passions in ourselves, we must begin by recognizing our own weaknesses and shortcomings. As St. Paul says in Romans 12:16, do not be wise in your own opinions. Archbishop Evarchy shows four dispositions that we need in order to accomplish this. The first is try to perceive your weakness and awareness that you cannot do any good without God's help. And the second is ask God in prayer that he will give you the realization of your weakness and know that it can only be acquired as God's gift. And the third is always fear for yourself and be wary of the crafty designs of Satan, for we need God's help in order to prevail against him. And four, if you should happen to fall into some kind of sin, immediately recognize your weakness and accept that God allowed this in order to help us learn of our weakness and the need to trust in him rather than ourselves. And, you know, this is one Holy Father one time mentioned that somebody who trusts in himself is like someone who has himself as a spiritual father, and that's a very foolish spiritual father, because even St. Theophan and talks about how we really shouldn't even judge our own spiritual progress in a sense, you know, because we're not really capable. I mean, it's like a student, you know, who's trying to learn, I don't know, quantum physics or something, and just beginning, thinking that he's going to grade his own paper. You know, I mean, let the professor do that. You know, let the wise, experienced person do that. Because, you know, we just should be more humble, and then we'll make a lot more progress that way. St. Paul himself was once troubled by some thorn of temptation, a messenger of Satan sent to buffet him, and he prayed that Christ would take it away. But Christ responded, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness." And then St. Paul replied, "Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong." That's from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 and 10. So it sounds counterintuitive. How can we be strong when we're weak? You know, but this is how it works in the spiritual life, because we ourselves don't have the power to defeat Satan and the power to conquer sin and raise ourselves from the deadness and attacks of the passions and so on. But Christ is all-powerful. And so if we can just acknowledge that, then we can have great success. So brothers and sisters, in this time of the Nativity fast and the preparation for the birth of our Lord, let's take this gospel to heart. Our Lord loves us and stands ready to help us as he helped this poor bent woman in the synagogue. And yet, weak and infirm as she was, she did her part, you know, just by not giving up in despair and by making her way to the synagogue on the Sabbath day to honor God. She was well aware of her weakness and her helplessness to fix this infirmity. But with patience and perseverance, she turned toward God. And then the Son of God healed her, just as he will heal our hearts, minds, souls, and bodies, if we will only turn to him. Let us then make the small effort to keep the fast, to come to the church as often as possible, and spend the short time we have in this life doing all the good that we can, that we may one day join Christ in his heavenly kingdom. Glory be to our God.